De Ricotto Recipe.
Welcome to another episode of the Ricotto Recipe, a podcast in which we feature people who are changing the recipe of our food system in collaboration with Ricotto. My name is Jelle Goossens. I'm a communications officer for Ricotto in Belgium, but today's episode goes way beyond this small country in Europe. Joining us today are Vasily Karantino, CEO of Carbon Farm, and Tuan Lee, an expert and director of Ricotto's RISE program in Vietnam. We'll delve deeper into the potential of carbon credits and cutting-edge technology to drive the sustainability of rice production in Vietnam. Vasily, Tuan, thank you for joining us from different parts of the world.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, so let's start with a little round of introduction. Vasily, can you share a bit more about your background?
Sure. So my name is Vasily. I'm French. I am the CEO and founder of Carbon Farm Technology. We are a climate tech startup addressing the problem of emissions in the rice sector. And I'm going to talk more about that. And before founding Carbon Farm, I was a consultant in McKinsey & Company in New York for a number of years, specialized in the topic of sustainability.
All right. Sounds great. Tuan, same question for you. Can you share a bit more about yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Tuan Lee. You can call me Tuan in short. I'm RISE Program Director of Southeast Asia and RISE Program Manager of Vietnam. And I have been working in RISE sector for more than 10 years.
All right, Vasily. So your startup, Carbon Farm, leverages satellite technology and artificial intelligence to bring transparency in greenhouse gas emissions from agriculture. And together with Ricotto and the International RISE Research Institute, you've embarked on a journey funded by the business partnership platform to lower barriers for Vietnamese rice farmers so they can certify and sell their own carbon credits on the carbon markets. Now, that sounds like a whole lot, but before we dive deeper into that, let's start maybe with the basics so that we're all on the same page here. Can you explain in simple terms what carbon markets are, how they function, and what the concept of carbon credits is?
Absolutely. So the idea of carbon credits is pretty simple. So rather than reducing emissions where it's difficult, you pay people to do it where it's easy and cost effective. So how did that work? The carbon certification process has three parts. First, you need to reduce greenhouse gas emissions following a certified methodology. So for example, you can plant trees, or you can adopt sustainable practices in rice farming. Then you have to scientifically quantify the reduction in emissions. And this step is called MRV, for monitoring, reporting, and verification. And it's really the crucial step where you bring the proof of impact, a proof that you've changed your practices, and that leads to a reduction in emissions. And finally, those proofs get reviewed by a carbon registry, like Verra, Gold Standard. There's plenty of carbon registries out there. And once this reduction in emissions gets certified, you can sell it as a carbon credit or a carbon offset on voluntary markets to carbon investors. So what does that mean? For example, it can be an airline looking to offset their emissions. Today, flying in a carbon neutral way is very, very expensive. Carbon neutral fuels based on biofuels are, very much more expensive than normal fuels, and so a way to fly in a carbon neutral way is basically to offset your own emission and buy carbon credits.
So yes, indeed, in the sectors of airlines, but also in the industry, it's a concept that is fairly general or generally known already. In rice farming, it's pretty new, I think. Can you maybe explain why we should be concerned about greenhouse gas emission when it comes to rice production? Because I think most people think, rice production, it's a plant-based product. What can be the problem there?
Yeah, absolutely. So before we talk about rice, I'd love to talk about methane. So if you look at greenhouse gases, you have, CO2, you have methane, you have nitrous oxide, you have plenty of others. But methane is responsible for a huge part of climate change. In the next 10 years, in the short term, 50% of the global warming is going to be linked with methane emissions. And 12% of those methane emissions is coming from rice. So in the next 10 years, putting that in comparison, rice represents more or less 3 to 4 times the impact in terms of warming potential of the aviation industry. So absolutely massive impact. And what's surprising is you have very simple changes to growing practices that can reduce this impact by half. So we're talking about alternate wetting and drying practices, where farmers change their irrigation practices and other practices to really reduce methane emissions by half. On top of that, it comes with other benefits like saving freshwater, reducing freshwater use by 30%, as well as increasing climate resilience to climate events such as droughts, typhoons, floods, and so on. So rice is a great source of
methane emissions. Yeah.
Yeah, rice can be a great source of carbon credits, and there are protocols that are existing to allow rice farmers to earn money when they adopt the sustainable practices. And so essentially at Carbon Farm, what we're trying to do is to democratize access to carbon markets for those rice buyers, those rice producers, and essentially incentivize the use of those sustainable practices.
Mm-hmm. Tuan, maybe you can elaborate a bit more on the farmer side of the story. I think Vasily explained already the many possibilities that there are to reduce the methane emissions in rice farming. Can you explain a bit why farmers are struggling to implement, and don't they know these techniques, or don't they have access to the knowledge?
Well, for absolutely, I can answer the question. So for farmer in Vietnam, Vietnam, we have been farmer, they have been working on rice cultivation for very long time. So they used to the normal practice already. But now for the new technique, of course, they have to be more careful with their field. It's not like in the past. For now, they have to work closely. They have to monitor everything. They have to write the logbook so that they can know when to put the water in, when to put the water out, how many fertilizer, how many pesticides they need to use, instead of like in the past, they record nothing. So that's one of the challenges that maybe farmers at the beginning they are hesitant to apply a new thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why with the carbon market, we hope that we can bring more income for farmers so that they can change. They slowly they can adapt to the new sustainable practice so they can change and at the same time have more income.
Yeah, that sounds like a match that is made in heaven, but a match that needs to be made. Vasily, can you maybe elaborate a bit on how this collaboration was established between Carbon Farm, Ricolto, and then also the International Rice Research Institute?
Absolutely. So maybe I can start by telling the story of Carbon Farm and how we started working on this topic. So we started Carbon Farm with the ambition to turn regenerative agriculture profitable for farmers. Agriculture has massive potential to go from a net emitter of carbon today into a net carbon sink. But of course, this is very theoretical. It implies that millions of farmers around the world adopt sustainable practices that reduce their emissions or capture carbon into the soil. And for this to happen, we need incentives. But carbon markets in agriculture don't work well. Agriculture represents less than 1% of the total volume of carbon credits out there. Why? Because there's a lack of transparency. So when carbon investors ask farmers to adopt certain practices, they need to be able to verify that there was a change in practices that led to a reduction in emissions. And so essentially at Carbon Farm, what we're trying to do is to bring this transparency on carbon markets using satellites and artificial intelligence. So when a farmer adopts sustainable practices, we're able to verify the change from space and to quantify reduction in emissions. And that allows us to bring the proof to a carbon registry and to help certify a carbon offset, a carbon credit that then can be sold on voluntary markets and essentially reward the farmer for the change they've made. So when we started working on that 2 years ago, two organizations stand out in Vietnam, Ricolto and IRI. Ricolto had been working with farmers for about 30 years, helping them transition to those sustainable models. And IRI was the greatest source of scientific knowledge in sustainable practices in the quantification of methane emissions. And as of, you know, and the Carbon Farm was playing a role of expert in technology provider and satellite monitoring. And so essentially, this partnership was about piloting this new model that we have in mind together in Vietnam and bringing our complementary expertise to really see what's possible and how carbon credits can incentivize this change towards sustainable practices in rice growing.
Mm-hmm. So if I understand it well, there probably are other ways of verifying methane emissions, but they're quite expensive and thus not really accessible.
Absolutely. So today, MRV, so monitoring, reporting, verification, relies on self-declaration from farmers. So farmers are asked what practices they have been implemented and as asked to submit logbooks of their practices. So of course, there is a problem of trust because logbooks are not really great proofs that there was a change, you know, and it's also a burden for farmers to be collecting data. They have better things to do. So essentially, satellite is a way to address this issue, to bring transparency and to bring trust back into this market by monitoring practices at scale in a consistent and biased way and for very cheap. So, you know, in rice, there is 160 million rice farmers around the world, and the average farm size is about 1 hectare. So there's really no way to be, you know, for this market to scale, we need solutions that can provide transparency on practices at scale and stop depending on those logbooks and on this self-declaration of practices.
Yeah, I can understand that it's really critical because I read an article also recently where there was a lot of doubt on whether these carbon storing potential of agriculture was really materializing, because there's a whole lot of talking about it and a lot of techniques that would be promising. But in the end, when they go really check it and check it over the years, it seems really hard to really quantify it. And so this technology sounds really crucial in that chain.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. I think we're almost experts now in the measuring and verification part of methane emissions. Now let's jump to the field of the farmers. Tuan, Ricolto, as Vasily already pointed out, has a rich history working with smallholder farmers in Vietnam and has also embraced a sustainable food system approach. How does your and our expertise contribute to this project? And how does Ricolto's approach influences its implementation?
Okay, so for us, Ricolto, we start working in rice sector in Vietnam since 2017. So until now, Ricolto has slowly supported smallholder farmer and cooperative. So we clearly understand what challenge rice producers in Vietnam are facing. The strength and the capability of smallholder farmer, of cooperative and other stakeholders. So Ricolto work with them to find solutions to build a sustainable food system that address those challenges. For example, we try to apply some practice such as SRP and the other smart technology such as testing the MRV system with carbon farm and IRI. So those challenges that emphasize the role of smallholder farmer, cooperative and stakeholder. I think another thing need to mention is the long-standing and good relationship with the government, the research institute, and the international and Vietnamese NGO. We work together in the field of agriculture to mobilize the cooperation in rice sector.
Mm-hmm. So I understand that all this requires also quite some adaptation and investments on the side of the farmers that can be covered by the payments of the carbon credits. Can you elaborate a bit on what it looks for a farmer in the field? What does he or she needs to do in terms of investment to really reduce the methane emissions of the rice fields?
Well, actually, the farmer, they do not need to invest in terms of money. In terms of money, they do not need to invest anything. But again, they need to pay more attention to their field. Like in the past, if you can just use fertilizer like that, like as much as you want, but now you need to follow it closely and record everything in the logbook, so you can know that okay how many you use is enough. Same with the water, you need to know when to put the water into the field and when to get it out, because for rice cultivation you do not need water all the time. So with the situation of water scarcity now in the Mekong Delta, it's become much more important that the farmers should pay more attention to the water.
So yeah, it's really about adapting practices and making a jump forward in terms of fertilization.
The farmer, they may need to put more effort in watching their field, not for the money. And by put more effort in that, actually they can save some money. They can save money from input costs, so that's it, better for them.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a big advantage for a farmer. Can you maybe tell a bit about how this project and the results were received by the farmers? What was their reaction?
Well, so for our program, the farmer at first, of course, they are hesitant because, the farmer in Vietnam, I already explained that they have been doing rice cultivation for a very long time. They get used to the technique already. So that's why if you want them to change, it's not easy. So at the beginning, they are hesitant. They don't want to change because they have to do more things on the field while the selling price is not really there yet. So we need time to convince them that, okay, by applying the new sustainable practice, it's better for them. It's better for their field, and at the same time, they can save costs. So it's good.
But they need to see before believing.
they need, for the farmer at the end, they need to see. They will not just you tell them that okay, it's good, just do it. They are not going to do it. They need to see it first. So that's why we need to make some demonstration first. So the farmers, they come and they see it by themselves.
Seeing is believing, and that's the same reaction that investors in the carbon market have. They also have to see it first before they believe it and invest their money in it.
Exactly.
All right, sounds like a lot of work already has been done and some critical first steps has been taken. So let's now talk about progress. Vasily, what significant milestones have been achieved according to you in this first year of implementation?
Yeah, so in this first year, we essentially piloted the technology in the Mekong Delta region. So we've installed a lot of sensors. We capture a lot of ground data, and we really validated how we can use satellite to monitor practices and quantify emissions with great accuracy in Vietnam, in the Mekong Delta region. So that was really the first step that was necessary to access carbon markets for farmers. So now we are moving to the next phase of the project, where we are starting to train farmers to sustainable practices, and we are starting the first carbon project, essentially helping them getting paid for the change they've made.
Mm-hmm. Tuan, what about you? What are your critical milestones in this first year, and maybe your lessons?
Well, for Reconto, so far by cooperating with Vasily and Carbon Farm, I managed to learn quite a lot from the new technique and so new technology. And also, we have Carbon Farm to set up the sensor in our cooperative, who already worked with Reconto for several years already. And so, we hope that we can achieve a good result with the sensor in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. What has already been done in 1 year, but of course we aim for a long term impact. Vasily, let's jump some couple of years ahead in the future. Where do you see this model heading in say the next 5 or 10 years maybe?
I hope to see first great impact for the farmers. So we believe that carbon markets can bring 20% additional revenues to participating farmers in that pilot program. But the essence of this pilot project is really to inspire people to replicate this model at scale. So we are really working with 2,000 farmers here, so it's relatively small, but we are already seeing a lot of interest for this model of carbon markets and carbon credits in rice from different players in the rice industry. And so a lot of people are watching what we're doing. It's really something very new in this space. It's the first carbon project in rice in Vietnam. It's the first carbon project using remote sensing in rice worldwide. And so we at Carbon Farm, our mission is really to help people in the rice industry promote sustainable practices. And we would love to replicate this approach with different players in the rice industry in Vietnam and in other countries as well.
Sounds great, like a great foresight. Tuan, same question for you. What from your part for Recolto in Vietnam, what are your hopes for this model in the future?
Well, so I've actually already mentioned that this is the first carbon project in Vietnam and also the first to test the MRV technology in rice cultivation. So I really hope that in the near future, other stakeholders, both in and outside of Vietnam, they can take our project as a sample and moving forward to bring the more income for rice farmers in the near future.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure all the other colleagues of Recolto around the world who are also working on rice are closely looking on what is happening in this project so they can learn the lessons from it too. All right. Thank you both for joining us today and shedding light on this remarkable project that bridges technology, sustainable agriculture, and carbon markets. And well, thank you, dear listener, for tuning in on this podcast. If you want to know more about this project and Recolto's RISE program, head over to recolto.org, and under Issues and Projects, you can find all our projects there. You can also subscribe, of course, to our Recolto Insights newsletter, and we'll make sure to add the links to the show notes of this episode. Goodbye, and we'll hope to meet again in one of our next episodes of the Recolto Recipe.
More information about Recolto, check recolto.org.